Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
I'll cry with you, I'll laugh with you, but bless God, I'm going to cause your frown to turn into a smile. I'm going to put medicine inside of you with the joy of the Lord. People write me all the time because of the joy in my life. John Hagee has titled me with a title years ago. He calls me the Apostle of Joy, and that just went all over the world. I do have a lot of fun. People say, do you ever have any trouble? Well, yeah, but I don't major on it because it don't last long. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he said, though I stop, build a house, and canonize the place. You understand? He said, I walked through those things. You know, I just walked through them. Didn't say they wouldn't come. He said, you just walked through them. No weapon formed against you going to prosper. Didn't say the weapon wouldn't be formed. He said they just wouldn't prosper. So in other words, you know why they don't prosper? Because you're not stopping. You keep walking. And you're a hard target to hit when you move it. You understand? But if you stop, you got trouble on your hand, because then you're getting the crosshairs. Now, people write me all the time. They say, well, Brother Jesse, think about this September 11th tragedy, this act of war that was declared against the United States of America when these terrorists used airplanes as missiles and bombs to destroy a bunch of people's lives. Now, you know, this day, September the 11th, 2001, will be just like December the 7th, 1941. It will live in infamy, as FDR said years and years ago. And I want to talk tonight about how you react to tragedy. You know, people all the time say, but Jesse smile all the time, you know, he's full of joy. How does he must never have had tragedy. Oh, I've had a lot of tragedy in my life, but I had to learn how to react to it instead of it controlling me. I had to learn how to control it. And the best way to do it is through the Word of God. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now, if you go over to chapter 17, verse 22 of Proverbs, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. That's Proverbs 17, 22. But I want to go back to Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart doeth good or maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I want to talk tonight about how to react to tragedy. And the greatest example of our lives and anything we need to learn is Jesus Christ. Jesus had tragedy in his life, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people don't think he did, but he did. And it was just not only the cross. Not that the cross was a suffering thing to him, but the cross to me is my statue of liberty. It wouldn't have been for the cross, I would have never had liberty in my life whatsoever at all. And yet the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor says, give me your tithe, your poor, your yearning to be free. I mean, that probably could have been a scripture, if you think about it, because the cross says, give me your tithe, your poor, your yearning to be free. And Jesus set us free when he went on the cross for our sins, not his sins. He took our penalty, and you know, and washed us clean through that powerful, powerful substitution work. And I want to talk about that tonight, on how to react to tragedy. And if you think about it, one of Jesus' major tragedies in his life was at the very beginning of his ministry. I mean, him and John the Baptist were first cousins. They were born about 6 months apart. They grew together. They laughed together. They cried together. They stumped their toes together. They ran all over the desert together. They probably drove Elizabeth and Mary half crazy. One was a voice crying in the wilderness. The other one was the Son of God. They were children. They grew up together. They loved each other. Both had a destiny and a destination. I want you to think about that. Both had a ministry that was called by God, Jehovah himself, or Allah, whoever you want to say. And all of a sudden, something terrible happened in John's ministry. John understood his destiny and destination. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. How many preachers you hear say that today? How many Christians you hear say that today? When someone is going ahead of you, should you say, I must decrease? Or do you say, I got to come up with something to beat that guy? I got to come up with something to beat that woman. But you see, when you understand your destiny, then you will reach your destination. Most people do not understand their destiny, because if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I begin to see, what did Jesus do on tragedy? Well, Jesus was preaching the word, and the Bible said that the disciples came and said that John the Baptist, his friend, his first cousin, his family was beheaded through a lustful dance in front of a lustful king. and he was destroyed. And the Bible said it didn't even say he went to the funeral. In fact, it says the disciples went, buried the body, and then came, told Jesus. Now, that is a perfect example how to act in tragedy. For first, he went to a quiet place. He had to get his composure together. But you know what he did? He picked up the message of John the Baptist. He came back out preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he preached healing heart, and he healed more people than he ever healed. And in that time, he touched more people in ministry. See, what you need to do, instead of tragedy controlling you, you need to learn to control tragedy. And what you do is, Jesus is our example. He said, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. So when tragedy hits me, I do what Jesus does. If you prayed for somebody, they didn't receive the healing, and then they went to heaven. If you quit thinking of yourself, if you think of the person that went to heaven, you'll shout. If you think of yourself, you'll cry. They've got their final reward. And if they did not receive their healing, I'll come back with everything I got. I'll preach healing harder than I ever preached in my life. I'll run the devil down and stomp him, bless God, till I get him completely restricted, rejected, and shut down. That's exactly what Jesus did. That's how he handled tragedy. That was a terrible thing in Jesus' life. But yet, he began to heal more people, touch more people, feed 5,000 people with a two-piece fish dinner. That's good. Kentucky Fried Chicken hadn't figured that out yet, how to do that, glory to God. But Jesus knows how to multiply. See, Jesus did not live. He lived by his giving. Do you understand that? A boy gave him a two-piece fish dinner. Instead of eating it, he twice sold it. He prayed over it and sold it, and it became meal to 5,000 people that day. But notice this. My God, he began to preach healing and repentance harder than he ever preached in his life. Now, you got to understand something. When I saw these terrible things happening, I mean, my God, how many of you have watched the television and you almost had to take it off? It got so heavy, and yet you might not have known anybody that died in those World Trade Centers, but because they were Americans, it touched us all. You understand? It really ministers to us. So people ask me all the time, including my family. They misunderstood me over the years. They said, Jesse, don't grieve enough. I mean, mama died, you know, and a lot of his aunts and uncles died. It don't look like he grieved. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not supposed to grieve. Now, I know Christian psychiatrists, and you listen to me watching by television, Christian psychiatrists and Christian therapists and secular psychiatrists and psychologists tell you there's a time to grieve, but according to the scripture, it's not, and I'm going to prove that to you in a minute. Well, first thing first says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. So I have a responsibility to keep a smile on this face. You understand? I have a responsibility, bless God, because your face, if you're taking notes, write this down. Your face is the index of the condition of your spirit. People know what's going on by how they see your face. Your face is the most important part of your body. Do you understand? I don't care if you ain't got a face, I don't care how good looking the rest of your body has, you are a blind date. Are you understanding me? Think about it. You gotta have a face, man. It's something about a face. How many times you've had a blind date and say, is she pretty? Well, she nice. I don't care if she nice. Is she pretty? Well, she sweet. Forget sweet. Forget nice. Is she pretty? No, she's ugly and she'll gag a maggot, but Lord Jesus, she nice. The first thing that the plastic surgeons did was to lift your face. Your face is the index of the condition of your spirit. So when people saw me and with all this tragedy, I had to keep my face up, bless God, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Just by smiling and saying, my God, I'll cry with you. I'll laugh with you. But bless God, I'm going to cause your frown to turn into a smile. I'm going to put medicine inside of you with the joy of the Lord. Are you understanding that? That's how you handle tragedy. And that's exactly what Jesus did. People that were brokenhearted, people that were sick, he created happiness by healing their spirit and healing their body. Well, Brother Jesse, how you do it? The word of the living God is how it's done. I get real nervous about churches that don't preach the word of God. They may preach homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological points of view, but that ain't helping nobody. We've had that for centuries. People still sick, people still mad, people still not going to church. You understand what I'm saying? The Word of God contains valuable recipes for heart pain. Write that down. The Word of God contains valuable recipes for heart pain. See, God understood something about grief that very few people understand. Grief is the highest order of sorrow. It's the highest level of sorrow is grief. Grief will kill you. Grief will cause a second death. The highest level of fear is terror. And these people are called terrorists. It's the highest level of fear. Now watch this. And people are grieving. My Lord. I mean, I saw a little lady there on the streets of New York. And she had a picture of her husband. Have you seen him? It just hurt you to no end. I said, Lord God. He said, Jesse, you're trying to carry her sorrow and carry her grief. And it cannot be done. And I'm going to prove that to you. If you'll turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Let's read what Jesus says about this. This is how you react to tragedy. Now, I know I'm a funny man, but let me do a little preaching first. Because you see, America's hurting and people are hurting. And you people are watching by TBN. Some of you are hurting over this thing, and these things need to be answered, ladies and gentlemen. Need to answer why it happened and what we're going to do because it did happen. And we're going to answer that tonight. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2. For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, Jesus wasn't ugly, but he wasn't real good looking. He was just regular, like most people. You know, most people are regular. I mean, you see a beautiful girl, but for every beautiful girl, there are a lot more regular ones. For every good-looking man, there's a lot more regular ones. It's called regular. You understand what I'm saying? Regular. Not unleaded, just regular. You know what I'm talking about. A face is a wonderful thing. Let me tell you something, bless God. But I tell all you people that are watching today and you that, listen, you don't marry somebody because they're pretty, because one day it's going to fall down. You understand? It's going to fall down. I found myself this morning shaving and almost stopped my razor because them hog jaws went, Lord Jesus. I said, help me, Lord. I'm going to have to get some work done here. Hallelujah. I've ate chicken all my life. Now the chicken gave me a chicken neck. Look at it there. It's starting to sag, Michael. It's bad. Lord Jesus. Cost about $8,000 to suck it up. I might do it. I don't know. Praise God. Glory to God. People say, you don't have wrinkles. I said, I know. I got cracks. The cracks in my face. But if you'd have seen me when I was young, oh, Lord, I was good looking. I was. Ask my wife. Oh, Lord. Kathy would look at me and go, I just have to sit her down. Sit down, honey. That's all right. That's all right. I know what you're thinking. You know what my wife said? Jesse's a legend in his own mind. It's my story. I'm going to tell it the way I want to. Mike Perkins told me how to tell a story. Praise God. Tell it the way you want to. You heard me say this here before. I had one of them hard bodies. Lord Jesus, man. Lord. I'd get out on the beach and Kathy said, Jesse, too many people looking at your muscles. Put your shirt on. Boy, I had that six pack. You know, it was just all. I had all them hard lines. Now when we go to the beach, she said, Jesse, don't take that shirt off. For God's sake. Because I don't have a round belly no more. Now my belly going, it just gets flat. Used to have a round belly button. Now it just goes. And it retains water. You got to watch. You got to dry it out every time you take a shower. Don't shout me down. You got the same problem. You ladies know how to control that. That's called control top pantyhose. That's how you do that. You know it and I know it. Glory to God. I don't see how you can wear anything. You can pull a car with a pair of control tops. You carrying a chain in your pickup, just get your wife's control top. That's all you need. I tell you what, it's holding all that stuff. It can handle that truck. Don't shout me down. And I know exactly what you ladies do after Sunday morning service. You walk in, bless God, got them control tops on. But when you get home, the first thing you do is go, oh. Go home and say, oh. You know it's the truth. Get shots of them. Don't get shots of me, glory to God. I don't wear control tops. Now you see, what are you doing, Brother Jesse? How? I'm causing a healing in your spirit, a healing in your body. The Word of God contains valuable recipes for heart pain. It's not humor. It's not humor. They think it is. No, it's not. It's the Word of God. You shed gloom or sunshine by your presence. You have an opportunity to shed gloom or shed sunshine by your presence. I would prefer to bring the light instead of the darkness. But look what it says in verse 3.
Jesus said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. So Jesus had sorrow in his life and acquainted with grief. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when did Jesus get acquainted with grief? Think about that. He was acquainted with it first. He was a man of sorrow. He saw a lot of hurt. One day he was walking and he saw a woman just convulsing and crying. Just, he thought, what is so wrong with this lady? My God. Then he saw that there was he interrupted a funeral procession. How many of you by accident have pulled in front of a funeral procession, didn't realize it? Mom, you pull on the side of the road and try to be respectful. You know, things like that happen sometimes. And he looked at her, and her boy had died. And she was just in grief. And he realized right then and there in the very early part of his ministry that human beings cannot carry grief. Because grief will cause a second death. And it'll even cause a second death in animals. Grief is the highest level of sorrow. It cannot be handled. The human heart, physical heart, can't take it. It'll shut it down. So he walked over to that stretcher where that boy was laying, who they're about ready to bury, and he touched that stretcher, and that little boy, Jesus gave him back his life, raised him from the dead, and then from grief came great ecstasy of joy. And then he realized he had got acquainted that day with grief and realized that no creature, no creation of God could handle grief. So look what it says in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3, and we hid as it were our faces him, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now notice verse 4. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. He realized that you cannot handle grief. You that have lost people in New York or on those airplanes, ladies and gentlemen, you can't carry that. It will kill you. You understand? So what you need to do is turn this over to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can carry it. He bore it and he could carry it. He bore your grief and he carried your sorrow. Now, when my mother passed away, and we've had a lot of tragedy in our life, my own brother's 15-year-old daughter was killed in a pickup truck accident. She was in the back of the pickup truck and was thrown out and hit a bridge, you know, one of these little bridges that busted her lungs. She lived for about 15 minutes on the side of the road and died. I had to help my brother. Lord Jesus, I mean, your world is crushed. Now, you understand what I'm saying? You cannot carry that. Jesus realized that. He got acquainted with it, and he said, Lord, I will go to the cross and carry every man. I will bear all grief, and I will carry all sorrow. See, this is not religion. You understand? If he took your infirmity, why do you want it? If he bore your sickness, why should you have it? See, so many people say God sent you a sickness to teach you something. Well, why did he take it and carry it? Why would he give it back to you? That's a theologian. You need a good theologian to help you misunderstand the Bible. Do you understand? I know that I'm going to get some ugly letters on that, but that is simply the truth. They're trying to give it to you in Hebrew and Greek and word study. And my God, all you want is just plain talk. That's what I love about President George Bush. It's either black or white. He said, we're coming. You understand? We're coming. We're going to smoke you out. You understand? We're going to smoke you out. We're coming. We're going to get your money. We're going to get you caves. We're coming. I want to let you know, but you're not going to know when we're coming. Surprise, surprise, surprise. He don't mix words, does he? That's why people like him so much. He don't mix words. And I think the greatest speech of any president ever given was given to the Congress when President George Bush gave that speech. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, that was something. Because you know you understood everything. It wasn't an insurance policy. Well, you need a lawyer to read it. You didn't need to be smart trying to use big words. You just say, we're coming. There are going to be a lot of successes you don't know about and some you will know about. We're coming. And the press is going slap crazy. Where is he? Where is he? What are he going to do? What are he going to do? You notice you hadn't heard anything about separation of church and state? You notice you ain't heard nothing about atheists neither? Why? Because America's coming around God, because it's God. In God we trust. Do you understand? This nation was built upon God. You understand? You cannot separate this wonderful faith in God from government. It takes faith to believe in your government. Oh my God. So he bore my grief.
So if he bore my grief and carried my sorrow, then I will not, listen to me, do not carry it, because it'll kill you. There'll be two debts. The devil will win again in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, a cheerful expression of a Christian is a winning invitation. To what? It makes the gospel attractive. I don't mean this to sound arrogant. You know why people like me? I don't mean it. People love me. Mike, am I telling you? People love me. I'm not just saying. They go, what about that? Even children. Blood Jesse coming. Blood is Jesse coming. Well, I wanted to be like Jesus. Children love Jesus too. You understand? I mean, I had a little boy come up to me one time, be about 5 years old, had a little suit on, his Bible in his hand. And he said, are you Brother Jesse Duplantis, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, I surely enjoyed your sermon. It ministered life to my spirit, touched my soul, crucified my body. I said, praise God. I said, what'd your mama think about it? Oh, she don't go to church. She going to hell. That's her problem. She just dropped me off. Kid had more God than his mama. He says, she drops me off. She needs to come in and get saved, Bud Jesse. It's hard living with sinners. It's big. Kid had more knowledge of the Word of God than his own mama. Only reason she was, the devil ain't killed her, was probably because of that kid. Cheerful expression of a Christian is a winning invitation. It makes the gospel attractive. So when I talk about Jesus, and you've heard me say this before, I don't walk up there and give them that Thursday night invitation spiel. Hello, would you like to meet Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life? He'll come into your life and you can be just like me. I don't think so. That's that Thursday night visitation, knock on the door that your pastor make you go do that you don't want to do. Tell the truth. So a lot of people have misunderstood me. They say, he don't grieve enough. No, I'll never grieve at all. Why? Because the example of who I live and who I breathe in is Jesus, and he didn't grieve. He got acquainted with it and realized that no human being could carry it, so he bore it. And he carried my sorrows. So man, I tell you, when I see people, I cry with you. And I'll shout with you and I'll laugh with you. But I tell you what, I'm not going to let you carry your sorrow. I'm not going to let you carry grief. You get around me, I'm going to make that frown turn into a smile in the midst of the worst tragedy you've ever seen in your life.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great partner offer for you this week. It's called The Wonder of Forgiveness. You are going to learn three different ways we can regard God's divine forgiveness. Number one, impossible. Number two, pardon. And number three, celebration. God not only saved you and forgave you, he also said that he remembers them no more. This will bless you. How do I get it? You go to jdm.org. In honor of our 50th year of ministry, we're releasing our anniversary copy of my first book, The Ministry of Cheerfulness.
Yes, it's time for you to be filled up with the supernatural joy of Jesus. Order your physical copy or digital download today with your donation amount of $5 or more at jdm.org.
Listen, joy matters, so get this special edition of The Ministry of Cheerfulness and start walking in joy every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, I preached this message you just watched after the 9/11 terrorist attack in 2001. Look at the world today. We need this teaching more than ever. There's tragedy everywhere. But tragedy doesn't have to control you. You and I can control tragedy when it comes. How do you do that? Be an imitator of Jesus Christ and use the Word of God. Because the Word of God has valuable recipes for heart pain. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Those things are not easy. But this Word of God will bring joy and peace that you never thought possible. I'm telling you, this will minister to you. You only saw part of this message, but you can see it all on our free JDM app. So all you got to do is go there and do it. We have a wonderful product order for this kind of sermon. It's my 50-year anniversary edition of The Ministry of Cheerfulness. Can you believe I've been in the ministry for 50 years? How do I get this book? This will make you happy. I'm telling you, you go to jdm.org for all the ordering information. You can get it there. Partners, I can't thank you enough for what you've done for the last 50 years. All these years, we've never had a financial deficit. Why? I got to say it again. I trust you. You trust me. We both trust God. And guess what happens? God's word works. Thank you for being a partner. If you're not a partner, pray about becoming one. We have many more projects going on. My Lord, people say, Brother Jesse, you ever going to retire? Don't look like it. God likes to work me. Praise God. And I don't mind doing the job. We got two projects right now that's $20 million. We believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million. The millions of people that watch this program, that would be no problem. Hallelujah. What a blessing. All of it goes into world evangelism. We are debt free. Thank you, partner, for all that you do. You'll never be a day without prayer. The hundredfold anointing's on me, and it will come on you. See you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
We're stronger than we know. We're bolder than we know. We're courageous in Jesus.
Kathy Duplantis's Glorious, a conference for women.
Women are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Jesus came and set us all free.
Glorious, a conference for women, March 6th and 7th, 2026. For more information and free registration, go to jdm.org.
Jesse DePlantis Ministries is literally circling the globe using every available voice. What would that be? That would be television, radio, printed page, internet, DVDs, CDs, books, whatever it takes to preach the gospel. Can you see it? Hey, can you see it? I can just see it. I can see the gospel going all over the world to every person. Every year, the souls adding up, people getting healed, lives being changed and delivered. Is that impossible? No. God thinks we can do that. Everything you see here at Jesse DePlantis Ministries was impossible, and everything we are going to do is impossible. But yet the Lord said, if you believe it, I'll do it. We are believing the unbelievable and receiving the impossible to simply reach people and change lives.
There is power in prayer. Jesus says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Need a prayer partner? Let's agree together in faith.
He claims you as his very own treasure. He did this for you so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse DePlantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.